Thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. My name is Carrie Rabideaux, and this podcast will describe a youth program that is building a culture of health. To do this today, I have three guests joining me: Joshua Kukowski, Joyce Strand, and Katie Ann Bierhansel. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
Hey, there they are. Now, before we jump into our topic of culture of health, would you all please introduce yourself and tell us who you are, where you are, and what brought you to the Culture of Health Project?
Hello, my name is Joshua Kukowski. I live and work in Moorhead, Minnesota, which is in northwest Minnesota, bordering on Fargo, North Dakota. I've been with this University of Minnesota Extension Center with you for Youth Development for just over 5 years in this role as an extension educator. And what brought me to this project was, and you'll hear about this later, is really how youth are at the forefront of what making all the changes. And so I'm most excited when you're talking about building a culture of health, is how youth are going to be the ones that are driving this work and making real impactful changes.
Yeah, so my name is Joyce Strand Vossler, and I'm a program coordinator in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's an urban area. So I'm doing a lot of organizing of after school programming, community club 4-H programs, and the content really varies. We have a big STEM initiative, but the culture of health is really exciting work for our Frogtown Rondo community. We have the largest urban farm in the nation, and so it's a really good fit.
Thank you. And I'm Katie Ann Bierhansel, and I am a 4-H program coordinator out of Chippewa County. So I live and work in Montevideo, Minnesota, basically 3 hours straight west of the city. And Milan is the community that we're focusing on in this initiative, and that is on one of the edges of our county. I have been with Extension for just over a year and a half now, and I work with our 4-H programs in our county. So really, you know, we're always working with youth to develop their potential, mm-hmm. and then working with adult partners and the community to support them in providing positive opportunities for growth. So when this opportunity came about, it was just another option to look into to provide that.
Thank you, Katie Ann. And I'm going to have you continue with us here as you've all referred to the culture of health programming. Can you tell us more? What is this? And give us the description of what it is and how the project came to be.
Sure. So really, building a culture of health is anything we can do to improve a person's quality of life. So our three Minnesota communities of Frogtown, Milan, and Moorhead were able to attend the National Youth Summit for Healthy Living in Washington, D.C. in February. And one of the main goals was to define and then develop health action plans for each of our communities. So the plan identifies the need and how the youth leadership will address that need, in cooperation with adult partners, youth in their communities, and any other partner organizations. So really, the opportunity became available to us when two extension centers partnered to apply for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant. That's where it began.
Okay, and Joshua, there are a number of partnerships that were created that Katie Ann just referred to. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, Katie referred to a couple of them right now. This is a really complex project, really designed to do a lot of different things. At its core, obviously, is to make a change in the local community, whether led by the kids. However, to put all this together, we talk about the Robert Wood Johnson. They're a very large nonprofit. If you know Johnson & Johnson, they're from that part of it too. And they care about creating a culture of health. Imagine what if we talked about health in the same way we talked about other things that we talk about a lot. Really, just the United States spends a tremendous amount of money on health and get not the results that correspond to that. And I think that's, they're trying to really address that issue and through a culture of health. We talk about how cooperative extension, we're everywhere. We are in every, almost every county across the United States in our old, you know, in our systems. We have, you know, we have, a, we're based as a land grant university, both tribal and, you know, old land grant universities, and we're based in every county. So you think about creating a culture of health with our capacity of being in every community. You talk about 4-H as having the kids and having the volunteer infrastructure in place. So we have that there. And then bringing family development along from family development. Most cooperative extensions have different centers that they focus on. And, you know, ours, like I said, I work for the Center for Youth Development, thinking about, but bringing together our colleagues from a different center from across the nations is forcing us to really involve, think differently about health and nutrition and about families and about communities. And it's actually really neat to see how these things are all coming together. So if you can imagine a bunch of streams, Robert Wood Johnson, cooperative extension, 4-H, family development, all coming together to form this, to kind of focus on a culture of health.
The two of you have described the philosophy or definition of what the culture of health is and the partnerships that have been crucial to making it happen. Let's hear what is going on. What is the programming? So Joyce, I'm going to have you start. There are three sites that have been doing this programming. Joyce, you're in Frogtown. You mentioned that a little bit earlier. Could you describe for us what is happening there?
Yeah, so in the Frogtown community, we're, as the grant calls, innovators. And then Mylan is like an implementer, and then Moorhead's the planner. And so we're all in different stages, really, in like where the work's at. And Frogtown, being the innovators, they have already had a strong presence in the Frogtown Rondo community. And so what we're doing is we're really adding that youth voice piece to the community partnership, the strong community partnership that's there. So we are working with the Urban Farm and Garden Alliance in Frogtown community, family development, and FNAP. And they have identified young people that are kind of our the center of what we want to do. So Kalia Linear, she is a youth that had been working with the Garden Alliance and went to Washington, D.C. And then like Kathleen Gagalai, who's been a longtime 4-H'er, in our Big Urban Woods 4-H Club, also went to Washington, D.C. And so those two youth have now been at the table, and they're working on their action plan. So they've decided that they want to do a community dinner this summer, and inviting other young people to come along and talk about the culture of health in their community. So Kalia is very interested in mental health and like the state of their neighborhood and how mental health is affecting their community. There's lots of disparities. Being a neighborhood that is primarily people of color, like, yeah, there's inequity there. And so she wants to bring more resources around that issue. And so at this dinner, in addition to her talking about mental health, we would have like resources from like NAMI and some other nonprofits that are working in that community. And then Kathleen Gagalai is interested in the Native culture and bringing the gardening medicine piece into the neighborhood. And so reconnecting with the land is pretty important. And so that's what she'll be talking about in the... They're also organizing more youth to be planners in that community dinner and trying to identify like other topics that they would want to bring to the table. And they will be teaching other young people in the gardens that are already established. So there's a children's garden that has weekly programming. And so that will be like one recruiting area. And then Kathleen is going to be teaching at the Freedom School that's in Rondeau. And she is bringing it, working with the Healing Gardens, I don't know, designer, I guess, and instructor here at the University of Minnesota. And so we'll have some expertise in the Native culture. So that's really exciting that, like, you know, it's only been like a few months and like these kids, young people have already made more partnerships and are taking lead. So it's really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, as you're describing that, what a powerful event for these young people to be able to have their voice represented and that it's their voice, they're planning it. They're the ones behind what the message will be during that dinner. Thank you for sharing that. And I look forward to hearing how that goes. When is that dinner planned for?
It's going to be in July. We're kind of one of the Fridays in July, just kind of figuring out what dates work best. When you have like a lot of partners, the scheduling gets a little tricky. So we're figuring that out. But yeah, it should be in the next couple of weeks here that we have the exact date.
Great. Well, we look forward to hearing the impacts those young people make in that Innovators Project that you have. Next, we're going to hear from Katie Ann in Milan.
Absolutely. So as Joyce said, Milan is considered the implementer community. So we are in the stages of really getting the plan going. So JY and Matthew are the youth who attended the conference with us and came up with hundreds of fabulous ideas. So narrowing it down was one of those projects that they were tasked with, along with Ann and Steve, who are our volunteers who came with to the conference as well. So JY and Matthew really want to focus on the physical inactivity and obesity that they're seeing in their community in Milan. Milan is a small town, rural area, population of around 370, and really a farming community, along with a large Micronesian community. So a really rich, diverse mix there. And what JY and Matthew were noticing was just a change in culture and looking at that inactivity that's happening amongst their community, as well as getting everyone out to do it together. So one idea that they have planned is to host a 5 o'clock walk where they would literally start at a door, knock on a neighbor's door, ask them to join them, and go around the town. And they would plan this. It could be 5 p.m., 5 a.m., so they could go either way with this. During these walks, they really want to take time to have everyone get to know each other, so it could be really informal. Or they've talked about planning some formal discussions where they could bring in someone to talk about healthy food or what to cook. So some type of discussion that you can have while they're doing the walk. And as they said, really getting to know each other is what they would like to focus on. Volleyball is huge to the Micronesian culture, especially these youth, and they are really active in volleyball, basketball, and they'd like to host some tournaments in their local community center gym or outdoors would be ideal for them. So getting something going to create that space in the park would be a big deal for them as well. Again, all to get more activity and get everyone out and about doing it together. They have a lot of ideas. And as we sat around the table last week talking, you know, the youth are at the table, the community adults, we have SNAP Ed, we have our extension centers with family development and youth development, and just lots of good ideas going forth and a lot of excitement from our youth to get that started. So they're looking at that, also identifying other youth in the community that are excited to go along with them, and then some more of the adult partners. We're ready to start, especially now that the weather has turned.
You're ready to implement.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The 5 o'clock walk and volleyball and all around the idea of getting to know others better.
Yes.
When do you anticipate this happening in your community?
That yet to be determined. And as they've talked, it could be kind of an informal start. So whenever the weather looked like it was nice enough to get people out, they would begin and then identify some of those formal discussions that will happen along the way as well.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
We will now move on to Moorhead. Joshua is there and you have the planning stage of this.
And what that really means is we get more time to learn from all the good things that are doing in Frogtown and Milan and across the nation. So we have a little bit more time to get started and on a project. And that's what we're doing. We're actually just getting started. The Moorheads project has not been defined just yet, but it's getting closer to being defined. We've brought youth together, brought some, and what they wanted to do is they wanted to bring more youth. And the kids actually asked, they wanted to bring the adults together to hear what they had to say too, which is kind of an interesting dynamic. So we're looking forward to bringing the kids together. But some of the things that we're working with right now are, we're working with the Somali population in this community in Moorhead. Moorhead is a very dynamic community, like all the communities you've heard about. And one of the new arrivals to our area has been a Somali population and the Somali group. And they are really trying to advocate, but at the same time also navigate and some of the challenges that can be in living in this community can bring and with any new arrival to any community faces. And so what we're doing is we're listening to hear exactly what they want to do and how they define a culture of health. But I have a suspicion it's going to nest around understanding between larger communities and the Somali community that we're working with. I just have that hunch that that's probably where we're going. I will just say to be determined.
All right. Well, we will stay tuned. And your timeline?
We have 18 months, I think. And I'm not sure when that 18 months began. So look for something by the end of this year. So.
Right. Well, as I said, I would be thrilled to do a podcast again with the mm-hmm. three of you and have the young people involved share how this all panned out. In the meantime, I know I'm really curious about some of the data and the methods behind this project. How did you decide the innovators, the implementers, the planners? So Joyce, could you tell us a little bit about those data and methods that informed the decisions on how you're doing this work?
Yeah, I think one thing that was like really awesome about the young people going to Washington, D.C. was they were learning that health disparities, it's not just an individual choice, really. It's not about somebody just making good decisions. It's really, there's multiple levels of how the culture of health affects a community. So like looking at policy is a big part of that. And that means like on various level, not just like government policy, but even like institutional. Yeah, there's many things that, and I think like the young people are like really blown away by that. They also learned this tool called the County Health Ranking. It's a website that you can put in your county zip code, and you can see data of what your community is looking like. So I'm just going to kind of walk through and try to chat as I like go through the website here so you guys can kind of get an idea. The website is www.countyhealthranking.org. Brings you to the first page. It says health where we live. And then you're going to click on the tab that says explore health rankings. And then go to find county rankings. There's a search box there that you can type in your county. And I'm doing that right now. And so I typed in Ramsey County, and it shows like the ranking of 87 counties in Minnesota. And Ramsey County is 68. And then it breaks down quality, overall quality of life, health behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, physical environment. And then there's like subcategories, and it shows different areas where the county does well. And then also there's like the red line where you're not doing so well. Like with our young people in Frogtown Rondo, like it was interesting because the health county rankings didn't exactly show mental health or culture come up as like an indicator in that area. But I think it's because Ramsey County is so big that some of that data can get lost. We're just having like conversations based on that data kind of helped us sort through and think it was like a starting point really for us to.
Thank you, Joyce. So one last question for all of you to weigh in on. What is your hope for this project? What is that? You know, you all have a specific project that you've described to us, and that it has a process and a place that you're getting to, what's next?
You know, for me, two things. One thing that comes to mind is that that I remember taking away, the impact you make at a local level, like in your family, is small. The impacts you make at your workplace are bigger, but still small. The impacts you make at your, maybe your school, your institution, are big, but still not. But the impact when you talk about making policies, that's where a lot of real change happens. And I think one of the things we're really trying to encourage youth to think is to think that you can really make changes that really make a difference. And so to me, that's really exciting too, as well. And the other thing I just take away, when I thought of the word health, I think of diabetes and bike tracks or bike, you know, bike paths. And now I'm thinking broadly about what health is, and I'm really encouraged about that. So, and I hope that's for me.
I would echo Joshua as well. You know, my hope is that the youth gain leadership and see the big piece that they can play in making a difference in, you know, policy nationwide as well, starting out with a town of 370 people. They've also mentioned this in Milan as being a small community. So yes, they can literally walk the entire town. But this could be taken to larger communities then, and smaller areas or neighborhoods could replicate the same process. So that's where they've talked about taking this at this point, as well as the overall goal of getting everyone to know each other in the town.
Yeah, and I think I'm excited that the young people are seeing like the younger people in their community and wanting to influence them, and then like also taking leadership and modeling that leadership and learning like these new pathways, connecting with partners. And it's just, it's really exciting when you're not the one that's like doing all of the work, that like it's the community, and that change is what's going to make this stuff like sustainable and have like that larger impact. So I think that's super exciting.
It is exciting work. And I want to thank the three of you for sharing today how using innovation, implementation, and planning by youth, with youth voice, supported by adults, is helping to form a culture of health in all of your communities and will affect others in years to come. So thanks for joining me today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
For more information on youth-adult partnerships and youth leadership, please visit our website at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. You are going to discover other research, training, and events that we offer, and you'll also find information on our Minnesota 4-H program if you aren't part of it already. Please also look at our Youth Development Insight blog, where you can read and comment on topics covered by our colleagues there. That is going to wrap up our podcast today. My name is Carrie Robidoux, here today with Joshua, Joyce, and Katie Ann. From the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development, please tune in again soon.